no kidding. 10 seconds after that, someone walked up next to me, felt like they had heard something from the Lord, said, "Pastor, I feel like today God is going to heal, that we need to pray for healing, not just for those that are here, but for those that may not even be here." So at the end of today's service, Virgil, my Pentecostal brother, we're going to anoint with oil and pray for healing and believe that God's going to heal you and God is going to heal others in your life. It may be your body. It may be your heart. Doug, it's good to see you. God may heal you today, bro. I've missed you. I love you. It's good, good to see you. Let's just believe maybe today's the day. Yeah, woo, that's what I say, Lydia. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. How do you like these cups? Would you like one? $100 goes to missions. No, I'm just teasing. Let's go to God's Word. We're still talking about victory and peace, how to have it in a chaotic world. I'm amazed of the response to this series. But I know why, because we're under the gun on a regular basis, aren't we? And many times we struggle with anxiety, pressure, worry. And the Lord is teaching us these last few months how to have victory in the midst of this pressure-packed world we live in at times. How many of you know you can have victory in the midst of this pressure we live under? I believe we can have victory. I heard a story recently. Looking at my clock. We got plenty of time. It's a little girl named Rebecca Taylor. In 13 years, Rebecca Taylor had 58 surgeries. 58 surgeries and 1,000 days in the hospital. All before the age of 12 or 13. When her mother, Kristen, should have been talking about slumber parties, this and that and what have you, she was continually bogged down with blood cells and stents and these long names I can't pronounce, and I don't even know the prescription's names, if you know what I mean. But she knew all that stuff. Then one day they brought her another thing, hemorrhagic stroke. They felt like her little girl, after 58 surgeries and 1,000 days in the hospital, by the time she was a teenager, that now she's had a hemorrhagic stroke. In her blog, the mother said this, and I want to read exactly what she said because I can't tell the story the way she says it. "This past week's new landmine was the phrase, possible hemorrhagic stroke. A phrase I heard dozens of times used by numerous physicians. Over and over, that phrase filled my mind and consumed my thoughts. It was emotionally crippling. This past Sunday, our pastor started a very fitting series on anxiety. We reviewed the familiar, and you'll be familiar with it, Philippians 4, 6 verse. It says, do not be anxious about anything. How much, church? But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Can I get an amen on that? Church, can I interject just a little bit as we read the rest of this story? And she's still talking to us, this mother, today. You have to practice it. Can I open just a little window here that might help you? I know all these things too, and sometimes I don't do it. I'm not the only one in the boat. But if we will practice what God's Word says and we'll make applications, God's Word works. This, what we're practicing in the 40-day devotional is built all around these verses. You've got to practice what you've learning to receive what you want from God. She said, I presented my request to the Lord as I had so many times before. Then she said it this way, but this time I needed more. And so using Philippians 4, 8, and 9 as a guide, that's what we've been doing now for 28 days. I found my answer. And she begins to quote Scripture and comment on it, and I'll do it. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, what was true in my life at this particular moment, the blessing of all family members eating dinner together. Whatever is noble, the blessing of enjoying each other's presence outside a hospital room. Whatever is right, the blessing of experiencing my two sons' daily lives. Whatever is pure, the blessing of all three children laughing and playing with each other. Whatever is lovely, the blessing of watching Rebecca sleep peacefully in her bed at night. Whatever is admirable, the blessing of an honorable team working tirelessly for Rebecca's care. If anything is excellent, the blessing of watching a miracle unfold. Or praiseworthy, the blessing of worshiping a Lord who is worthy to be praised. Think about such things. I did. As I meditated on these things, I stopped the dreaded phrase, hemorrhagic stroke, from sucking the joy out of my life. Its power to produce anxiety was now rendered impotent. And would I dwell on the bountiful blessings in my life at that very moment, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, did guard my mind and my heart in Christ Jesus. A true and unexpected miracle, and she says, thank you, Jesus. Can you thank the Lord this morning? Did you notice what Kristen did? The word hemorrhagic stroke hovered over her like an ongoing daily thundercloud. She stopped it. She stopped thinking about it. She stopped saying it. Listen, she practiced thought management. Today's title of the message is Think About What You Think About. Look at your neighbor and say, think about what you think about. A lot of times, we don't. We let the enemy and the flesh and others run right over our mental situation. I've got some good news for you this morning. You get to pick what you ponder. You didn't choose where you were born. You didn't choose when you were born. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose your brothers and sisters. You didn't choose any of your siblings. What are you saying, Pastor? Many times in life, we have no choice. Things happen. But the greatest activity in life we have dominion over. That should be good news. The greatest activity in life we have control over. We may have to train ourselves, but we have control. There's all kinds of things we don't have control over. We get knuckleballs and curveballs and hardballs that come from nowhere, but there's something this morning that we can have complete dominion over and control over, number one, and it's what you choose to think about. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Another translation says it like this. Be careful what you think, say think, and then listen, because your thoughts run your life. The NIV says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. What you think can get in your heart. We know that the Lord looks at the not the outward appearance, but the heart. And we want to have hearts after God. But when you let your mind, what I call stinking thinking, it can go from your mind into your heart. You will become what you think. And I'm teaching it biblically. I'm not teaching some weird doctrine here. What you think is what you become. Here's what, and I'm going to use this illustration is, and I'll show you a little video a little later. It's still off a little bit. But you can be the air traffic controller of your mental airport. You didn't even know you had a mental airport, did you? Well, that's what I'm talking about. Because the Scripture teaches us that you're in the control tower. And you have the power and the ability to direct the mental air traffic in your world. Thoughts circle above. Thoughts come from here. Thoughts come from there. Thoughts come from here. Thoughts come from everywhere. And I'm going to tell you something, and it's true, and you can study. I want you to always study what I preach to you, to make sure I'm preaching the Bible to you, to make sure you learn it for yourself, to make sure you know the truth. But we determine whether those stinking thoughts land in our mental airport or not. Jesus doesn't determine it. Others can't determine it. The devil can't determine it. We're going to talk a little more about that later. You have a choice. That's good news, church. You have the choice to say, no negative thought, you're not landing in my mental airport. Or you can give it permission to land. It takes off because you direct it to take off in the name of Jesus. It lands because you want it to land. The Bible clearly teaches us that we get to select our thought pattern. Let me illustrate real quick. How many want to be happy tomorrow? Only half? Well, that just goes to show. Half of you are going to be miserable already. And I didn't even raise my hand. How many of y'all want to be happy tomorrow? Well, there's always 20%, and ain't nothing going to make you happy anyway. Did you raise your hand? Did you raise your hand? You can sow seeds of happiness today, and I guarantee you it'll bring fruit of happiness tomorrow. You can count your blessings instead of what's going on. We all go through trials, not trying to have a lack of compassion, but especially when you're in a trial, you need to count your blessings. When you've got Jesus, we sang it this morning, you got everything already, don't you? You have Him, count your blessings, memorize Scripture, pray, sing songs of worship. All these things we're learning. Encourage somebody else when you're discouraged. What? Did you get that right, Pastor? Yes! I had to hang out with my brother-in-law all week. I'm sorry. I'll get some of this southern stuff over with in the next week or two. If you're in the heat of it and you're under the gun and you want to be happy tomorrow, encourage somebody today and act like you mean it. Don't be Eeyore. I'm so proud of you. You, I really love and appreciate you, brother. Encourage somebody else, and I'm telling you what will happen. Even though the pressure may be on you, you'll feel encouraged. And those that are around you that may hear that encouragement, they'll feel encouraged. I tell you, on my worst day, I try to encourage more people than on a normal day, because I know after I encourage 10 or 12 or 14 or 15 people, and I do it at the grocery counters, and people light up for a 10-minute compliment. 10 minutes. And all they tell me, get out of the way. 10 seconds. Encourage others. The Lord is in, and you will feel encouraged. You want to be miserable tomorrow? How many want to be miserable tomorrow? The 20% didn't raise your hand. I'm just having fun. But there's probably some truth in it. Because sometimes some of you, I guess we're talking to each other, this, y'all insist on being miserable. It's almost like a spiritual gift for you. I don't know if I can find that in the Scripture. Wallow in the mud pit. Wallow in self-pity. Wallow in anxiety. Wallow in guilt. Assume the worst. Beat yourself to a pulp. Beat yourself up. Rehearse your regrets. Rehearse. Nurse and rehearse. Complain to complainers. Happy day. Our thoughts have consequences. Healing from anxiety requires healthy thinking. We are going to have challenges. Jesus, and we read it last week, in this world you'll have tribulation. He said, take heart, I've overcome the world. But your challenge is not your challenge. Your challenge is how you think about your challenge. Your problem is not your problem. It's how you think about your problem. And my question to you this morning, and we could stop right here. We're not going to. But what do you choose to think? Because you see, number two, and this is true, Satan will lie to you. His biggest thing, there's a devil, y'all, for people who don't know, you have to teach the basics. There's a real devil. There's a real Satan, and he has demons. It's all in the Scripture. As it pertains to what we're talking about today, Satan will lie to you. He'll tempt you. He'll lie to you. 1 Peter 5 and 8, listen to me. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Maybe someone did. Old Rover. He looks like he's got a bad attitude. That's what Satan will do. See, the devil knows that he can lie to you. He's a liar of all liars. He's the accuser of the brethren, the Scripture says. And he fills the sky of our world many times with anxiety and fear and doubt and depression and oppression. He does his best as he hovers over and around our life to tempt us to allow him to land. And if you allow him to land, he'll chew you up like termites. From the inside out, you let him land and you go down that road, you don't get that thing under control, get it under the blood, he'll take you down a dark spiral. He'll take you to a dark place. He'll take you to a deep pit. He will lead you to a sunless place because he would like to get control of your mind. He knows he's not going to get control of your heart, but he'll try to get control of your mind, and he'll land you, if you allow him to land, he'll leave you in a place of no opportunity and no tomorrow and no future. Have you ever heard the sound that I'm talking about? Have you ever felt the pressure of the enemy? Have you heard the enemy lie to you ever? He exaggerates. He overstates. He magnifies. And then if we allow him to land, what the flesh does mentally, we magnify it. We exaggerate it. Does anybody hear what I'm saying this morning? It goes like this. Nobody will ever love me. It's all over for me. Everyone is against me. I'll never get the right job. I'll never lose weight. I'll never get out of debt. I'll never have the friends I want. The enemy, the Satan himself, wants to swarm our minds with negative thoughts, especially when the pressure is on. What ludicrous, monstrous lies! That's it. Got a little airplane over here. Church, no problem's unsolvable. No life is irredeemable. No one's fate has been sealed in here this morning. No one is unloved or unlovable. Jesus will help. Jesus will always help. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we confess our sins, He's still faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus will help. He's still the glory and the lifter of our head when we're hanging our head down. He still calls us children of God if you've made Lord the Savior of your life. Jesus will help. The Scripture says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony. Our testimony a lot of time is what we think. Jesus says, Jesus is going to heal me. Oh, I know I've been to the altar 100 times. Jesus is still going to heal me. Jesus will never heal you. You've been to the altar 100 times. You've been prayed for 22 times. Jesus heals you, dog devil. I submit my life, James says, to God. I resist the devil and he flees from me. Jesus helps, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Jesus helps, Jesus helps, Jesus helps. Well, I've been bound. I do all right for a while and I go back into bondage. The enemy says, you'll never change. You're never going to change. You've always been this way. Oh, you get a little victory for a little while, but no. Jesus helps. Persevere. Press on. Press on to win the prize for which Jesus Christ has called in you, heavenly. Fight the good fight. Fight the battle. Jesus helps. Jesus wins. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Uh-oh. I get louder without these on. Nope. Satan is the master of deceit. He is. But don't let him be the master of your mind. Are y'all taking notes? That's noteworthy. Simple. Hebrews 12:2 says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Speaking of Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down the throne of God, the right hand of the throne of God. Satan is a master of deceit, but he doesn't have to be the master of your thoughts. Let Jesus be the master of your thoughts. Let God the Father be in control of your life. Let the Spirit of the living God, Romans 6:7, lean into the Spirit, lean into the help, lean into the grace, lean into the power. Why don't we make God our master? Why don't we make Jesus our master? Why don't we make Him King of kings, Lord of lords, ruling our hearts, but not just our hearts. What about this thing called the mind? Let Him be master of our lives. especially of our thought life. It's amazing. You know, I've finished these messages and began to prepare last summer for these thoughts. But when I began to preach them, in so many ways, all hell broke loose in my life. Wonder if that was a coincidence. You see, Satan will lie to you. But we've got to fix our thoughts on Him. Philippians 4:8. This whole book's on 4:8. And now, dear children and sisters, one final thing. Fix. Everybody say fix. Say fix with me again. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Do you think if 3.5 months in this series, we're going to get this in our spirit and our mind, aren't we? The word fix is a very important word in that scripture. In the Greek, it is logizomai. It's the English word for logic. Now, there's a lot of things in this Bible that's very logical. There's a lot of miracles that we see doesn't make any sense at all. But stay in context with me this morning. What we've been studying for weeks. Fix your thought on what is true, honorable. Fix is the English word for logic. Paul was very clear in the context of these scriptures that anxiety and pressure and worry is best faced with logical thinking. So could I say something with you? And of course we need the grace of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a given. But the most valuable weapon we have to fight these issues weighs about 3 pounds and it fits between our ears. Look to your neighbor and go, use your head. Well, no, let's say that different. Some of y'all have done that, and I'm kind of hard-headed. I got a bunch of knots. Let's go to the next level there. Use your brains. Our brain. Don't say it just to your kids. Kids, I give you permission to say it back to your parents this morning, but very respectfully. Use your brain. That's the weapon God has given us to fight worry and anxiety. Let me illustrate it for you. This is an imaginary story, okay? So it's not a true story. You've been to the doctor. He calls you at home. He doesn't tell you what's wrong. He says, I need you to come back in for a consultation. What was your first thought when I just asked that question? Now, maybe we can have some fun with this, but I'm trying to illustrate truth. I'm in trouble. Why does God always let bad things happen to me? I'm being punished. I've done something wrong. Things never turn out right for me. Tragedy. Here you come. I've got cancer. I'm going to die. Who will take care of my spouse? Who will take care of my kids? Who will pay the medical bills? No one understands. I'm too young to die. Proverbs 12:25 says this, Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. If you typically think this way, and in this illustration, if let's just say that's Joe thinking that. If he's not sick, by the time he gets to the doctor's office, he will be sick. By the time he gets to the doctor's office, old Joe will be at death's door. There's a better way, church. Before you let your mind run wild, put your eyes on Him. Before you call even your best friend, call on the Lord. Drop your knees and pray. Just these things we're learning. It says pray about everything with prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, the scripture we've been learning, with thanksgiving on your heart. Call on the Lord. Seek the Lord. Open your Bible. Look to the Lord. Wait for Him to speak to the problem. Now, I'm only going to read this scripture only, but listen to me in 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, and it speaks of the better way I'm teaching you this morning. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. How many thoughts do you take captive when you get the call from the doctor's office? How many? How many? Every thought, and make it obedient to Christ. Don't give the enemy a chance to lie to you. Don't let your flesh lie to you. Go to Jesus. Take your thoughts captive. Praise Him with thanksgiving anyway, because you really don't know anything yet. Slap the handcuffs on those thoughts. Satan, I rebuke that thought. You submit to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Satan, you'll not have any control on my mind. Jesus has control of my thoughts. In the name of Jesus, I pray in the name of Jesus all the time. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Get away from me, you devil. I'm protected by the blood. I'm covered by the blood. I'm washed in the blood. I'm saved in the blood. I'm healed in the blood. I'm going to heaven because of the blood. I'll tell you, he's already gone. Be the air control the air traffic of your life. Be the air traffic controller in Jesus' name. Satan, get under my feet. Scripture said he's under our feet. You can't land here. You can't have me. You can't have my family. You can't have my friends. You can't have my church. You can't have my thoughts. I'm the head and not the tail. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Satan, when he rises up against me, will fall. Ephesians 6 and 10. Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. 8 through 10. There we go. Knowing that whatever... That ain't it. Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. I want to go through 6, 10. Let me read it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. You know, Stephen, it's not my fault, it's yours. Really? Stephen, it's not your fault, it's mine. Some pastors blame the tech guys and sound guys for everything. It's on me, bro. Y'all knew what I meant when I said it the first time, didn't you? You mean you thought it was me all along? Oh, take that thought captive. Let's try this, Stephen, since I probably sent it to you the wrong way. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Should I just read it? Let's get it. Turn in your Bibles. Boy, that's old-fashioned. Oh, me. Help me, Jesus. I've got fish frying on my mind. We go fried up. I got a little hot sauce to go in one batter. Y'all won't like that. I'm just doing a commercial. It has nothing to do with what I'm getting ready to say. See there? It's buying a little time. We got to get those lights, Tim, that we order. When I'm over here, people tell me I turn blue. We needed a little break. At least I did. Thanks for humoring me. Okay, because we're going to finish strong, okay? Isn't the Word of God good? Isn't the Word of God encouraging? And it's true. That's the main thing. God's Word is true. I'm back. Finally. Everybody say, finally. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For, here it is. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Say, all the armor. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day and have done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is the belt of truth. The blood makes us righteous. And we can do a series on these few verses. And as for shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given to them by the gospel of what? The gospel of what? When you're in a hailstorm, when the planes are flying over you like crazy, when the pressure's crazy and you're worried and you're anxious and you want to think negative, gospel of peace. But you've got to fight. You've got to put on the armor of God. Look, are we going to put on armor today and go to a picnic? Well, if some of y'all wear armor to the picnic, then I'm going to have to ask you a question or two. But you might need it. Keep going. It's shoes for your feet. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. All of them. And take the helmet of salvation. I'm saved. I'm born again, you dull devil. And you can't steal your salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. That's why tongues is so important. One of eight reasons. I taught you all that a few months ago. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all, what does the Word say? You're going to have to persevere making supplication for all the saints. Let's give the Lord a hand. Put on the full armor. Resist the urge to amplify, get angry, overstate, magnify. Look, I'm still telling this story. Focus on the facts. That's logical. Y'all thought I wasn't going to bring that around, didn't you? The fact is, the doctor called. The fact is, the news will be good or bad. For all you know, you may be the next poster child of health. Some of y'all really do think the worst right away, don't you? All you can do is pray and trust the Lord. So do you? In this case, so you do. So you do. You enter the doctor's office not weighed down by worry and anxiety, but uplifted by faith. Which do you prefer? Kristen Taylor discovered the same calmness. Seven months after her little girl was barely surviving, right before her 13th birthday, her little girl, Rebecca, was vibrant and full of life and healed by the glory of God. She'd gained 30 pounds. They said she was a walking miracle. And her mother wrote, and I read and I quote, "I watched these interactions with a silent sense of awe. It is easy to praise God during the seasons of wellness, but it was during my greatest distress when I felt the Lord's presence poured out on me. And it was in those heartbreaking moments I learned to trust this God who provided unimaginable strength through unimaginable pain." Guard your hearts and trust the Father. Worship team, come. Staff and prayer people, be ready. God has so spoken to us in so many ways today through the worship, through the prophetic. He's told us the healing waters are here. Those satisfying waters. He said you don't have to live in a desert. He's spoken to us through His Word. I do believe we're supposed to pray for healing and stand in for those that aren't here. I believe that was a word from the Lord. And I got a third word from the Lord. We didn't do it publicly. Just because you have a word from the Lord doesn't mean you always do it publicly. The Lord is saying, and I didn't receive it. Somebody gave it to me. Receive what God has. Forget about yesterday. Don't think about tomorrow. Receive what you need today. So that's what we're going to do. We need to get the oil ready. And we're going to pray for healing. Physical healing, mental healing, emotional healing. Others, you said, you know, we're standing or coming to the altar every week to live this victorious life under the pressure. And half of us are responding every week. So I think we're right on with what we're doing. But if you also need to leave something.